Well, we want to say good morning to everyone out there who's tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show. It is Wednesday, December 13th, and thank you for being here with us. My name is Susie Prez, and I have a co-host over there.
Good morning, Susie. I'm Chris Bessler. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And it was really pretty to see the little dusting of snow on the cars this morning.
Yeah, it makes you remember that, hey, we are in almost to winter time. Officially, winter comes next Thursday.
And what else comes next Thursday? When winter comes?
Well, the shortest day of the year.
Yeah, but then that means the days are going to get longer.
Okay,
so
that's right. Yeah,
maybe it's my happiest day of the year. I don't even know. But that's the good news. And this is, again, the morning show where we're live in the studios here at 88.5 KRFY. And this is listener-supported community radio right here in North Idaho and globally on the web. You can stream us. And also, we record our shows and we put them on our podcast at our website at krfy.org. So if you don't get to listen to the whole show, you can always go back and hear it again or hear the rest of it.
Yeah, we have a great show today. We have a couple of different topics we're going to be talking about. First, we're going to be talking about what's our annual giving request, if you will. At the end of the year, we like to talk to folks that are supporting the radio station about, about who they are and why they do it. And we have with us today Eric from
Meadowbrook. Furnishings. You betcha.
Eric, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah. Good morning.
And, you know, should we jump into that? No, we're going to do the weather first.
We'll do the weather, talk a little bit about stuff going on around town, and then we'll come back to talk with Eric.
Sounds good. Well, from the National Weather Service, currently 28 degrees. And we are also in what they're calling an air stagnation advisory until December 15th. It just means things aren't moving through very quickly. The air is kind of heavy. You can feel it when you go outside for sure. And that is the advisory we are under today, a high of 30, calm winds becoming northeast around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with low around 24, light northeast wind. Thursday, cloudy with high near 32. And Thursday night, cloudy with lows around 26. It's pretty much what I'm seeing. I think on Friday, we have a 60% chance of snow likely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much that means, but up on the ski slope, I'm sure everyone's hoping it's a lot.
Oh, definitely. We're looking for some more snow, although they do have decent snow coverage right now. There's 35 inches at the summit up on Schweitzer. There's 14 inches in the village. Like us, they only got a little skiff of snow last night. But as you mentioned, there's more snow that's
On its way.
Some other things going on. We should mention that tonight is going to be the height of the Geminid meteor shower that comes along this week in December every year. And it's been happening already. And Eric, you said you've spotted a few meteors falling.
Yeah, while we've had the clear skies. I've seen meteors shooting across the night sky.
We've had some really beautiful night skies happening with the clearing that we've had. And tonight will be the height of the meteor shower. I don't have a number for the number of meteors that will be coming down per hour. But if you started your viewing, say, after about around 9 o'clock is when it starts getting better. So go outside tonight and look up in the sky. It's supposed to be clearing later, we hope.
I have an idea. You can come down to the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 8 tonight and celebrate with the KRFY crew because we're having a KRFY fundraiser down there. It's also kind of our annual meeting, but it's going to be mostly a fundraiser. And we want the whole town to come on out, and anyone who listens to us and loves KRFY, our community radio station. And then when you get home, you can go outside because you'll be awake. You'll have enjoyed an evening at the Idaho Poor Authority, and then you can see the meteor showers.
Yeah, afterwards. You can check out the meteor showers. Go outside and look up in the sky. Other things going on around town, there's a ton going on, more than we can mention here. One of the neat things happening this weekend is the Carousel of Smiles is going to have their unveiling. And what they're doing is they're putting together this antique carousel that they've been working towards restoring. It'll be the first time that it's actually been assembled since like the 1950s, I believe, since it was first stored away. That's going to be happening this weekend at the fairgrounds, actually. on Saturday from 1 to 6 p.m. People can go check it out and see the what the carousel looks like. And, and it'll also be open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Is it going to be working, or is it just set up?
It won't be working, but it'll be assembled for the first time. Oh. And folks that have been, you know, these are these antique carved wooden carousel ponies, and they're in the midst of a campaign to raise money and community support to restore those all, which requires refinishing all these horses in their original colors.
That's going to be beautiful. And that's out at the fairgrounds?
That's out at the fairgrounds, yeah, okay. This weekend. And there's a ton more going on. I would suggest folks go to our community calendars at krfy.org or sandpointonline.com to see, because there's a lot of different types of community events happening this time of year, of course.
A couple of them are centered around Reclaim Idaho coming to town on their green bus. And we, as you mentioned, Kim Keaton will be here a little bit later in the show to talk about Reclaim Idaho and what that's all
about. That's the
second
part of our show. We didn't actually mention it earlier.
Oh, okay.
But Kim will be in to talk about Reclaim Idaho and what their campaign is to. I think they're right now, they're really pushing to get Medicaid fully funded in Idaho. But they also are working on education and public lands issues statewide.
So we'll talk about that when Kim gets here later in the show. But right now we have Eric from Meadowbrook Home Furnishings. Good morning, Eric.
Oh, good morning.
You made it down.
I made it down here, yes.
Thank you. Through
the snow and everything.
Through the blizzard.
Do you live up on the mountain?
No. I'm up on a hill just a ways out of town. However, okay. We didn't get any more snow than y'all did here in town.
Yeah.
But you're here for a special reason, and I want to kind of precursor what that reason is. It's for us to thank you for one day. I'm standing here in the studios. We had these old rickety benches and stools that we weren't sure people would fall off or if they'd break on us one day.
And they actually provided audio effects, because you hear them creaking over the air as people were sitting on them.
And Eric, you showed up with all this energy with four beautiful stools for our broadcast studio here at 88.5 KRFY. And with a big smile on your face, you just brought them in. They are absolutely stunning and beautiful, and you're both sitting on them right now. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to say thank you. You just showed up with them.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable, and I'm glad you guys have them in this cool little studio you've got going here.
Yeah. So, you know, that is kind of what makes KRFY possible, is people reaching out to us and saying, here, this is how I can help you. And so just a great big thank you. And really, we wanted to talk a little bit about Meadowbrook Home Furnishings. You've been in Sandpoint since 2005.
Gosh, has it been that long?
Yeah.
Your card says.
Yeah, 2005. That's what it says.
And you kind of become one of the signature retailers in town, I think. And it's really picked up your presence because you recently made a move.
Yeah, we just moved over to the Byrne Building, which is directly across the street from like Northwest Handmade and McDuff's Brewery right there. And yeah, it feels like we're kind of right in the center, right in the heart of First Avenue now, which is a wonderful place to call home.
Yeah, beautiful brick building, too. They did a great job when they restored that some years back.
Back in the Coldwater Creek days.
Yeah, because Coldwater Creek took that over for a while. Mm-hmm.
Beautified this building and made it something special on First Avenue, and so I guess we're kind of reaping the benefits of that now.
I remember when I was a child in Michigan, every Christmas we'd go to the big town, Grand Rapids, and walk through the town and see the beautiful Christmas decorations. And when I was walking past Meadowbrook there at the Byrne Building, I got that same remembrance. It's so pretty. You've got it, not just a great amount of items, gifts, and other things, because it's not just a gift shop. It's home furnishings. And I think there's an aspect to it, but it's so beautiful in there.
Yeah, you know, we transform sometime in November into this world of Christmas, and just a ton of holiday merchandise takes over Meadowbrook for a couple of months, just making it magical. It's a great place to go to work, and I feel the same way as I walk through downtown Sandpoint, looking at all the stores and seeing what they're doing with their windows every year. It's always just a little bit of extra holiday glee added in there.
And I, even though it's mostly for the children, it's really for us too.
Oh, it's all for everybody. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Meadowbrook Home Furnishings is more than just a store. It's also, what did you call that? It's where you can get, someone can help you figure out how to decorate your home.
Oh, yeah. You know, we do full-on interior decorating for people. In fact, over the holidays like this, we even go in, set up people's trees, put ornaments on them, deck out from floor to ceiling. Some of the homes we've done for Christmas have been absolutely extraordinarily magic.
Mm-hmm. So every business has an origin story.
Mm.
How did you come to start Meadowbrook in 2005?
You know, I moved here in 2003 and was working up on the mountain, working for the Mojo Coyote, which is a little coffee shop. I was a barista up there for a season. Got done, wasn't really sure if, you know, Sandpoint was home, and woke up one morning, decided it was. Meadowbrook was a company started by my mom back in Grand Forks, North Dakota, when I was 8 years old. And just going through kind of what we could do for the community, what would fit into Sandpoint, we just thought Meadowbrook was a perfect fit.
So did as a child, did you work in your mom's store?
Yeah, I started unpacking boxes, painting walls, you know, cleaning up at the end of the day, and it just evolved from there.
Kind of in your blood then, basically.
Yeah, you know it is. I've got two sisters. One of them also had a Meadowbrook out in a little town called Bemidji, Minnesota. The other one does interior design down in Las Vegas. So, yeah, everybody in my family is involved with homes and home interiors in some way.
Mm-hmm. So you have beautiful stuff in there. Oh, where does that come from? How do you decide what your inventory is going to be?
Well, you know, we go to different markets throughout the country, different times of the year. But really, it's kind of whatever the customers are looking for. So we're constantly, you know, in tune with our customers, seeing what's going into the next home, trying to work with that and trying to generally incorporate that into our stores. So it's more or less our customers that decide what goes into Meadowbrook. That, and we've got this extremely talented staff. I've got a partner, her name is Angie, and she's one of the most talented people in the industry anywhere. We're really lucky to have her around here because she finds all these tiny cool little things that way beyond me trying to find, I guess, but I'm more of the furniture guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about Sandpoint, how are you finding the results or how people react to having your store here in Sandpoint and your interior design aspect to Meadowbrook?
It's received so well, you know, moving across the street from the Cedar Street Bridge over into the Byrne Building. The reception's been amazing and warm. You know, this community supports anything that comes into it naturally. Yeah, it's been great. They, you know, it's a real relationship-based business. So as far as going into homes, helping people out with their interiors, you know, they're friends. I mean, everybody that we go into this home ends up being a friend, and it's an amazing experience for somebody like me just going out and doing their job, being able to develop all these relationships and that last for long, long after we leave the home.
You know, we see some real cycles in the real estate market here, your business must kind of follow along. When real estate is good and people are building homes, it's probably better for your business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love to see the growth, this healthy, steady pace that's been going on. It's been incredible, you know, and working side by side, all the referrals from real estate agents and the support that we get from the builders and the real estate people can't be measured.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get the word out in a town this size to, say, the realtors? Do you go around and talk to them and let them know what you do and what you can do as far as interior design?
You know, that's the benefit. It's like the benefit of being in a town this size is you don't have to do much. Word travels fast. It travels through the air almost. Well, it is directly today anyways. However, no, you know, it just gets around. I don't do a lot of promotion in Sandpoint. Most of it is referrals based from one customer, I guess, to another. And it just builds. It just builds and builds in a town this size. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do much. You know, everybody knows everything in this little town we live in.
That is so true. And, you know, coming up here to this station with these four beautiful benches, and I was thinking when I was coming over here this morning, I was going to describe them. Mm-hmm. They're soft, light gray leather, encompassed by, I don't know how to explain them. They're beautiful, they're comfortable, and it was truly a generous gesture on your part to just show up with them. I don't even know how they got here and how you, I mean, you brought them up, but you just showed up. Somehow someone found out we needed benches.
It wasn't all me. You got a wonderful man working downstairs from me here at Evergreen Realty named Charlie Parrish. And he stopped by one day and he was just like, gosh, Eric, you know, these are really nice stools. And they got these rickety things up there at the radio station that are making noise. And I'm actually afraid somebody's going to get hurt up there, he said. So I said, you know, let's do something about that, Charlie. And so here we are.
So we like to ask all our folks that are supporters and underwriters and donors, why do you support public radio here in Sandpoint?
Oh, I like your little mantra that the airwaves belong to the people. You know, I think radio is wonderful. I listen to radio in my car all the time. It gets me from A to B. It's a great source of trying to find out what's going on, whether it be tonight something at the IPA or tomorrow something, you know, with the carousel unveiling. You know, where else do you get that information? Mm-hmm. You know, so you guys provide a huge service here for the local community. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, you know, this has become a really popular thing here, that you guys are doing a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. Great work.
It's slowly growing. And I think you're right. It has become well known now as the station to tune to hear great music, news and information that informs and inspires, and also syndicated news shows from outside, like Democracy Now!, Letters and Politics in the Evening, Democracy Now! In the Morning, things that you can't get anywhere else. And that's kind of one of our goals, is to bring that to the airwaves.
Yeah.
And to encourage people to listen to the radio. I know that right now, probably there's some children at the Waldorf school listening as their parents take them to school, because they say, I hear you every Wednesday, Miss Prez, because I teach over there. And so, yeah, it's really kind of bringing our community together in a new way, in a different way.
Yeah, the Waldorf school, what a wonderful thing. All those lucky little kids going out there learning all they can today. Too.
They're so sweet. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So and you mentioned that your first job in town was up on the mountain.
Yeah.
Are you a skier? Got to guess.
I love to snowboard. Yeah, okay. I love to snowboard. Love to ski a little bit too, mm-hmm. but I think my real passion's in snowboarding. In fact, I'll probably leave here and try to get up there for a couple runs before my work day starts.
That's great. So you can kind of arrange your day to do some early morning skiing.
Well, you know, Meadowbrook doesn't open until 10 a.m. Yeah. And the mountain opens at 9, so yeah. I figure if I'm there by 11:30, I'm happy and everybody's happy.
It's all good. You get those first tracks when there's new snow.
That's what we're working for, you know. Exactly. We're working to be able to enjoy life out here in this beautiful country we're in. And if you can't do that, you know,
you could be in the city.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to take advantage of the place we live. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, we all got that connection.
Well, we just want to really just say thank you again, Eric, from Meadowbrook Home Furnishings. And a shout out to Angie, too. I'm sure she had a part to play in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Your partner.
My whole staff, you know, I'm such a small part of Meadowbrook, to be quite honest with you. It's an amazing team. And I'll definitely pass your compliments and your gratitude on to them as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. And these benches will serve KRFY and our community into the future, because they're very sturdy, beautiful, and very comfortable, too.
I'm glad to hear it.
So thank you, Eric, from Meadowbrook Home Furnishings and Interior Designs. And we're going to hear a song, kind of important, Petula Clark, Downtown. And then we'll be back with Kim Keaton and Reclaim Idaho. So stay with us. Eric, thanks again.
Thank you. Have a great morning, y'all.
Mm-hmm. This is Petula Clark, Downtown. And that was Petula Clark, downtown. And we are back in the studios. This is the morning show at 88.5 KRFY. And I'm Susie Prez with my co-host here, Chris Bessler. And we have our second guest in. Thank you so much, Kim Keaton, for coming in and talking to us today about Reclaim Idaho, giving us an update from what we learned this summer. So hi, Kim.
Hi. How are you doing, Susie?
Good. Good morning. And again, thank you. So there's a kickoff campaign here coming up in Sandpoint, but let's start at the beginning. Reclaim Idaho had a big kickoff this summer and kind of formed out of a thought about three things that are common subjects and ideas and that we can all kind of rally behind was the idea. So why don't you tell us about Reclaim Idaho to begin with?
Well, I'd love to. The two co-founders of Reclaim Idaho, Luke Mayville and Garrett Stritzik, are family friends. And we've spent many times at a Denny dining table discussing some politics of Idaho. They decided to start Reclaim Idaho last spring. And they decided that they were going to do a complete kickoff this summer. And they're the ones that had their little RV, and they travel their green RV, Reclaim Idaho. And they travel throughout the Idaho. The three clear issues were Medicaid expansion, fully funding K-12 schools, and the third thing was on public lands. They kicked it off here at Farman Park, had a great turnout, and then they got community support throughout the state. They went, I think, to every county, definitely every legislative district, and spoke with people. That conversation was an interesting conversation because they really heard from Idaho citizens is that their biggest concern was insurance, healthcare for Idahoans. Everybody has a great need for K-12. We'd like to see K-12 fully funded. We'd like to see issues on public lands resolved. But the big one was health insurance. That has brought us to where we're at today. Today, Reclaim has started an initiative called the Medicaid Expansion Initiative. And it is to put on the November ballot in 2018 to the voters to vote on Medicaid expansion. Now, I don't know if people understand completely what Medicaid expansion is. 32 states have Medicaid expansion. Maine was the last one. They did it through a voter initiative. All the states surrounding us, with the exception of Utah, has Medicaid expansion. Washington, Idaho, I mean Washington, Oregon, and Montana, and Nevada. So they've bought into this Medicaid expansion. Why Medicaid expansion? There are 78,000 people, working Idahoans, that do not have health care. They don't qualify for Medicaid, but they're close enough to the poverty level. They don't have enough money to pay for health care on the Idaho exchange. So we're trying to target that group for assistance. I hate the phrase, and I hear it often, the working poor. They're just working Idahoans. They typically make less than $18,000 a year, so they have to pay food, you know, housing, those basic needs, and healthcare just isn't there for them. Idaho has discussed this, the legislation has discussed this many times, ever since the Affordable Health Care Act, about Medicaid expansion. Idaho did a wonderful job on the health exchange. We're one of the few states that have a really extremely successful health exchange. They have not wanted to take Medicaid dollars, and we don't see that happening in this state. But research has shown us that a lot of Idahoans really want Medicaid expansion. Matter of fact, there was a Boise State research that had the majority of people in Idaho want a Medicaid expansion. It's not that it gets tested a lot. There's not a lot of surveys out there, but they sure talked to a lot of people in Idaho. So that's what the initiative is all about.
So tell us a little bit about the mechanics of the funding, because the expansion involves basically accepting a federal program that would almost entirely pay for it.
Yeah, it does. It's taking federal dollars. We're missing out on about $600 million per year right now if we would have chose that. And Chris, that brings out another really important point, is that you and I and everybody in Idaho are paying our federal taxes. That money is going to D.C. and then being redistributed to 32 other states that get the benefit of health care for their gap. We call it the Medicaid gap population. Again, I want to reiterate, 78,000 people, about a little less than 5% of our population. So we run into those people every day. They're working around our community. They're working hard. They just can't afford health care. So the other part of that, and I call it a double-edged sword, we not only do not receive money back from the federal government, these people still have health care needs. They don't have a primary care physician. We find them in emergency rooms during a crisis situation. That is paid for also by us. The two areas that pay for that, they call it indigent care, but the two areas that pay for that is the county and the state. So we are paying when they walk in the door, even if you're not compassionate about it. I want to make sure that's really clear, because I'm compassionate about making sure 78,000 people have health care. But then we turn around and we pay it in two different ways. Most Idahoans think that's unreasonable, and they wonder why we're doing that.
So that is the question. Why would the state of Idaho and the other states that aren't taking this Medicaid expansion money from the federal government not take it? Why would they not take it?
Well, that's
what's the argument?
That's a great question for your legislatures. And I've had a conversation with them before. I think, you know, there is legislatures in the state that would like to see it. It is a political hot button from the standpoint we're taking federal dollars, which we do now. We're happy to take forest federal dollars. We're happy to take school federal dollars. But there's that sense that we can figure it out ourselves. Well, I wish they could have. You know, they've had all sorts of plans and they've failed at the legislative level. They've looked at just getting primary care, preventive care for their citizens. Idaho, the 78,000 people, you're going to hear different numbers on that. That really comes from Idaho Department of Health and Welfare when they were working on some of these initiatives. A lot of legislatures say, oh, it's 50,000 and we can probably solve that problem. But we've given years to solve the problem. We really want to make sure the citizens of Idaho has a voice in this with our ballot initiative.
Yeah, and it has been up before the legislature the last few years, mm-hmm. and there's just a failure to move on it. Can you tell us, we're in Legislative District 1. We have mm-hmm. three representatives. We have two representatives and a senator, actually. Mm-hmm. How are our local legislators, what's their posture on this question of expansion?
They would like to solve. I've spoken to one, our Senator Sean Keogh. They would like to solve the health care issues. I think most legislators truly would like to solve this gap issue. They understand it exists. It's how, you know, it's a mechanism of how. And you're right, we're Legislative District 1, and there's 35 districts in the state of Idaho, legislative districts. So legislative districts are not bound by county, it's bound by population. I think you would see most people would want to, legislators made sincere efforts, but they can't come to consensus. And it's time for the people through voter initiative to come to consensus. We've done this. The last one we did was the Luna laws. We repealed the Luna laws through voter initiative. But it's a tough process.
And that
to
was
do.
An education initiative.
Yeah.
So explain how that process works. And this is what you're kicking off right now, is gaining the signatures to get it placed on the ballot.
Exactly. So the petitions that we are circulating, that's available on reclaimidaho.org right now, you can actually sign up for those petitions and get them going. But the initiatives that we're doing is we're doing a kickoff this weekend. But let me tell you why and what the requirement is to get initiative on the ballot, because that's our first step. You have to get enough signatures of registered voters on the ballot. You have to have 6% of your Idaho registered voters, and that would be about 56,000 people that we would have to get a petition from. You also because we're such a large state, 18 districts, you have to have at least 6%. The thinking behind that, we just don't want Boise, have them have a petition, get 56,000 voters there, and then it adversely
affects. It's got to be distributed around the state.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's, but that's difficult. That mm-hmm. makes it difficult. That's a law that was changed after the Luna laws. Makes it a little more challenging. Then those in District 1, where the district, where Legislative District 1, will need about 1,800 signatures, and we'll be working on that all this weekend. Reclaim Idaho, again, I just want to reiterate, they went throughout the state this summer, and they have community members working on this. I do want to make sure very clearly it is an all-volunteer force. We will be asking people to work at getting petitions out and signed. That's for certain. We're not paying anybody to do that. All of our time is a volunteer time. I think it's just people that have a great passion for Idaho and what's best for Idahoans, and that's what's pushing this drive right now.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to back up just a little bit about having the Medicare expansion on the ballot and getting that passed, it also creates jobs. And jobs is always a big issue. And I saw a number, I'm not sure if you have that number, Kim, but there is a lot of jobs to be had when 78,000 people now can have health care.
Well, that's a great point. And by the way, this came from Governor Otter. He had a Medicaid redesign, this work group for a Medicaid redesign. So this, again, comes from our legislature, so I'm just going to share those numbers with you. It would support over 14,000 Idaho jobs. It would generate $46 million per year in new revenue for the state. And again, we would see our federal dollars being used for Idaho, and it would also reduce this indigent care population that goes to ER and are there. We're paying for that through our county taxes and state taxes, too. So it has a huge financial input. And I guess, you know, I know those facts, and I think they're very important because you need to be clear with people what we're doing, but we're also doing the right thing. I was an educator most of my life, and I use this story with my teachers. There's nothing more unequal than the equal treatment of others. And being an educator, you realize you have these kids come in with different needs, different skill sets, and different needs. Our healthcare system is exactly like that. I've been fortunate enough to have great healthcare my entire life because I've worked for the school district. Not so many people have had that opportunity. So that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to say it's similar. We have different people. We have working people in Idaho that cannot afford healthcare because they make too much for that Medicaid, but they are working Idahoans, and that's a big point that I want to make sure we all understand. These people aren't asking for a handout. They are out there working and part of our job force in Idaho.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned we need the petition effort needs to gather over 50,000 signatures. How long do you have to do that?
Thanks, Chris. That's a great question because that window is fairly short. We have to have them all in place by the end of April of 2018 to be on the November 18th ballot. That's what come. It's important that we start this initiative. It takes a while to, again, since we're an all volunteer forces, takes a while to write what the initiative says. We've had some help on that, and then you have to get it to the state attorney general's office. They have to approve these things, so it takes a while, and we were listening. Reclaim Idaho was listening what the needs of Idaho is, and decided then what can we do about it. So it took a while. So we've developed a solid plan, a lot of volunteers in place, and that petition's ready to be signed by Idahoans. Mm-hmm. And we really hope we get more than 56,000. That's for certain because we're not there to qualify if they're registered or not. We really want to make sure people sign the petition. It has to be by registered voters, but you always want to have a few more in case somebody signs it that isn't registered. Mm-hmm. We don't know that or not.
Mm-hmm. And you have this. We're going to want to mention this a couple of times. You have two events happening this weekend.
We actually, you know, thanks. Yeah, no, that's a big thing. We actually have five events. But the two petition drive events, and that'll be nice because Luke will be in town. Luke is out of town, and so is Garrett. They're out of town. Garrett Stritzik and Luke Mayville, the co-founders, they'll be in town. And so on the 16th, this Saturday, between 11 and 2 at the Sandpoint Community Hall, we'll have what we call a petition signature gathering. And we'll go around town, and we'll try to talk to people, have them sign the petition. We'll also show them how to get online to download the petition on reclaimidaho.org. It'll be important. People can go on their own if they can't make it Saturday. Another part of the petition drive will be Sunday at Evans Brothers between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Again, we'll have Reclaim volunteers there. Luke will be there to discuss these issues that he's been working so hard on the last months in Idaho. But we also have three fun things, too. We always want to have people, you know, you can bring people out to help sign petitions, but you also want to bring them out for other things. So Friday night, we'll be at the Pondere Winery between 4 and 7. We'll register voters. We may, obviously, we're looking for fundraisers, anybody that wants to help us pay for some of the expenses that are non-labor expenses. We would sure welcome that. We'll have T-shirts to sell. Sadie Wagner and Desiree will be singing, too, from 5 to 8. And, you know, if you listen to Sadie, or I guess it's not Sadie Wagner. She goes by another name. What is that, Susie? Do you know?
I'm not sure, but Sadie Wagner.
Sadie,
yeah. Good. Everyone knows her by that name.
Yeah, I think so. She brings a large crowd, so we're really fortunate that the new owners of Pondere Winery has allowed us to come there. Also, Idaho Port Authority on Saturday evening will be there from 5 to 8. John Fershey, I don't know if I'm saying that right, will be singing there too. We'll be doing the same thing, trying to have people sign the petition, talking to them about it in between song sets. And then we're going to be out at we'll be at Evans Brothers during the morning of Sunday, but in the afternoon between 3:30 and 5:30, we'll be at the Hope Marketplace Cafe. It is hosting Bring a Friend. Beth and Bruce will be playing. Beth and has got a beautiful voice, and if you've lived in this community a long time, we'll have an opportunity to listen to her. And we'll also get people out in the Hope area, which has a strong group, a strong supportive group out there to get out that petition drive too.
So plenty of chances to intersect and get on, get your name on one of the petition sheets here, which is important. And again, you need to be a registered voter for your your signature to count. And that 56,000 you need to gather.
I think if folks want to hear more about these five events that you have around town this weekend, they can go to MedicaidForIdaho.org. But one of the things that impresses me also is hearing about it when Luke and Garrett get up and speak. When Luke gets up and speak, let's just be clear, you really get a sense of the passion behind this that we're all really, or that you and the organization are carrying forward, is to reach out to our citizens. It's our neighbors. And I'm sure that Luke will be talking about these, exactly what this is, and giving a clear picture, as you just did. It's kind of a make sense kind of thing, it sounds like.
What's that? Citizens Initiative. You know, we are really wanting Idahoans to have a say in this, just not our legislatures. We've given them time to work on this issue, and that we think the time is running out if we don't solve the problem. You know, we got some great news this year, too, because if you followed state legislatures, you know that Maine just passed a citizens initiative and voted overwhelmingly to expand Medicaid for their state. It's not a political, we're not saying, we think everybody should have a stake in this game. We're trying to keep the politics out of it. Maine has a Republican a governor. It has one of its, I think it's upper chamber has a Republican chamber, a lower chamber has a slightly Democratic. So, you know, we're seeing states that are similar to Idaho passing it. So that has made us, it's gave us some renewed energy too, or just energy to realize that. And again, some research that came out of Boise State led us really clearly to believe most Idaho support this. And on the road, on their Reclaim Idaho trip this summer, they found a lot of conversation about we're talking to working families that can't afford health care in the state of Idaho, and that really hit all of us. I'm a K-12 educator, big into that part of it. I've talked to Luke a lot over the years about K-12, but I was really shocked to see what the state looks like when you really get out there and you talk to people what their needs are. Again, not a small number, 78,000 working Idahoans that we see probably on a day-to-day basis. Again, they're about 5% of our population are in need of health care, and this would cover that Medicaid gap. Mm.
Yes. Strangely enough, the people we elect to represent us don't always represent us very well. As you mentioned, in the state of Maine, the legislature there was turning down the Medicaid expansion, and the people exercised their petition rights to do it directly. And that's what you're trying to do here in Idaho as well. Mm-hmm. Let the people get this on the ballot and let the people decide if they want to expand Medicaid for these 78,000 of their neighbors and friends that can't afford health care at this time. And that's all. We should make that point as well. If you sign the petition, that's not going to enact it in and of itself. It's only going to get it on the ballot so that the voters can then decide.
Exactly, Chris. I appreciate that, too. We just want to get it on the ballot. You have to have 56,000 registered Idahoans in 18 districts having over 6%. That's a legislative districts. That's a big task. That's how come we've had a great community support, and that's how come we have people, volunteers, and all parts of the state helping us with this. I mean, we're kicking off a lot in this county this weekend, but it's happening through the state. And one last point, I see Susie, and I'm always open to more questions too, just so you know. But one more point I really want to make is that the efforts between 18 legislative districts is going to be a challenge no matter what. So we have people there, but we want to make sure all of Idaho has a chance to vote on this and let's see how it votes. We don't want the 18, just because we have 18 legislative districts says we should have it. We want to inform and educate the entire state.
I think what impressed me is you only need 1,008 signatures in District 1. Is that correct?
1,800.
800. Okay. Yeah, 1,800. Yeah. That, you feel that's doable?
Oh, yeah. We're comfortable. But, you know, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's a time of year where people are busy this weekend. We understand that. That's how come you can get online, Idaho, reclaimidaho.org, and get a petition, and you also see a video of Luke Mayville. He'll take you through the steps. It's actually a fairly easy process. And then where to send that petition to, so we can get it to, we'll have to get it notarized. But read that. He's got mm-hmm. the five steps there.
It's probably clearly laid out.
It is very clearly laid out what that looks like. We're doing the face-to-face this weekend, but we definitely have some online and social media that we're using, and that's really kind of the power to hit the people.
And lots of opportunities in person this weekend. I know that they're hoping to get a huge crowd at the Sandpoint Community Hall on Saturday, December 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., or Sunday, December 17th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Evans Brothers, and Friday night with Sadie Cecilia.
Cecilia, yes, that's it, Sadie Cecilia. Yeah, we've got to remember that.
And that's Friday night at the Idaho, the Pondere Winery.
Yes, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So lots of ways to find out about this issue and learn more. Also, next Wednesday, we'll have a recorded interview with Luke Mayville. He's coming into the station on Monday to do a recorded interview, so we'll get a little bit more. Just continue to inform ourselves, get informed, and be inspired to make a difference.
you know, I'm so impressed by Garrett and Luke and their team that went around there. My son joined them for a little bit on their tour around Idaho, but it's a wonderful group of young people, and that's what I think they're getting part of the political process. And you can legislate bills through the legislature, but you can also do it through petition drive and voter initiatives. And there's two ways to create laws in most states, and they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for every legislature what choices they've made, but I can definitely inform, and all of us can inform Idahoans what's at stake here, mm-hmm. and what benefits that are offered to Idaho that we've been turning down the last few years, and also how we can help this working people in Idaho to get affordable health care through the exchange mm-hmm. program.
Yeah, this is basically direct democracy, where the people, through the initiative process, can put up an issue and decide an issue when their legislature is failing to act on it, which is the case here. Along those lines, one of the last questions we have time for. So we are coming into a new legislative session. Do you think this might light a fire under the legislators to expand Medicaid?
Again, it's hard to say what the legislature would do. They've had options in front of them.
At least 3 years in a row.
Yeah. And so their fourth year, they've looked at different options, and they've yet to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's also a year where people are running, will be running for re-election. What I've read, you know, just from my notes, it's been a lot about tax cuts. I have not heard anything about Medicaid. I haven't heard anything about the gap population, Medicaid gap population whatsoever. So it'll be interesting. And I've heard also cutting and then finishing the fifth year of the K-12 program Idaho has started. Those are the only issues. So it doesn't seem like it's talking points at legislative primaries. I don't think mm-hmm. it's a big issue for them. We'd like to force that issue, but we can force it by passing.
You bet. Put it on the ballot. In next November, there are going to be some really important races. So hopefully a lot of people will come out to vote, and the people will have a chance to speak on it. So Kim Keaton, thank you for coming in and speaking to us about this Medicaid for Idaho campaign kickoff. It's happening Saturday. That's this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Community Hall. Also Sunday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Evans Brothers. There are a few other events around town mm-hmm. where you'll also be, so people can just keep your eyes open for a chance to sign the petition. And again, it's just going to get it on the ballot and let the people decide. And what's more fair and representative than that? We should also mention that reclaimidaho.org is a good place to go and find out more about this. There, you didn't mention it, I'm going to. There's a place there you can click on to donate to the effort. And this is all volunteer, but it does take money to mobilize and get the information out there. So donations would certainly be appreciated, I'm sure.
Yes, they would. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. And we'll be asking that at these the other events we have. We'll be selling T-shirts mm-hmm. and doing some raffles and trying to raise funds for the cause, too. Thanks.
Putting mm-hmm. gas in that green bus, right?
Yes.
And another place you can go and get information is MedicaidForIdaho.org. And there's lots of information and events this weekend. Thank you, Kim Keaton, for coming in and informing us about this project, important campaign.
It's been an honor to be here, and thank you both, the radio station, both of you, for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick musical break and come back with just a few bits of information, but this is Bruno Mars, Count on Me. You Can Count on Me by Bruno Mars. And we are live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. We just completed our interview with Kim Keaton from Reclaim Idaho. And if you did not get to hear the whole interview, you can go to our website at krfy.org, and it will be on our podcast page. We just have a few minutes to talk about what's coming up. We've got KRFY things coming up.
Yeah, tonight, in fact, at 5:30, we're going to be at the Idaho Poor Authority for our annual meeting, and it's a fundraiser and a raffle and a chance to actually have a good beer from Fremont Brewing. And that's from 5 to 8 p.m. There's going to be music by Doug Bond and Marty Perron. And it'll be fun and informative. And all that, you end up supporting KRFY because we get a little percent of the proceeds. Plus, you can put a few bucks into the raffle. You might win something, but the money will help support your community radio station.
And why would folks want to support KRFY 88.5 community radio? In your estimation, Chris?
In my estimation, why do I support KRFY? Well, I think having an independent and non-commercial media source such as KRFY available to the community is invaluable in many respects. The morning show that we put on, plus we have cohorts that put on morning shows on Tuesday and Thursday, as well as our Wednesday show. And the idea there is to provide a platform for keeping people up to speed on current events in our town and to make connections with all the different community organizations that are doing great things here in our community. And there's no place else that does that.
Yep. Good answer.
Okay.
Very
that's,
good.
That's kind of a long answer. But
so we are having this fundraiser tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority, and we hope you'll come out and support our community radio station right here at 88.5 KRFY. And that starts at 5 o'clock. To 8 o'clock with Fremont Brewery. Also, next week on the morning show, Wednesday morning show, we're having The Reason for the Season. Some local faith leaders will be here talking about what it means at this Christmas time.
What's the meaning of Christmas?
What's the meaning of Christmas?
And they'll also be talking about a giving campaign that actually 10 churches are collaborating in to raise money for two important causes both here and internationally. So listen into that and get some ideas about what Christmas is all about and how you can also help contribute to these important causes.
Mm-hmm. We did this last year. It was great. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow on the morning show, Debbie Love and the Food Bank with Jim and Jack. So we are going to go out with a Bruce Bishop and Beth Peterson song. They are playing at the Idaho Poor Authority on Saturday night for the Reclaim Idaho campaign. And this is In a Town This Size. Have a beautiful day. Thanks for listening.
And have a good week. Bye now.